It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
And good Friday morning, everyone. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy today. Always a privilege to do that. Sandy has best radio audience in the country, I'll tell you that. And it's just a joy to be here on this. Well, if you live in the Southeast, it's a beautiful day. We're experiencing Canadian weather in the middle of June out here.
Somehow I knew you'd bring that up.
55 degrees this morning.
It's beautiful.
Oh, man. If the summers were like this, it would be really nice here in the Southeast. But the hot weather will be back.
Oh, it's coming.
Yeah. But we've been enjoying an oasis of cool weather the last few days. And it's kind of a nice reprieve from some of the hot weather we've had already. And I'm sure hoping where you're living across the country, if you've been in the tornado flooding area, that you're starting to get some relief in those areas as well, because it's been a tough time weather-wise for a lot of folks in the country. And I know 8 Days of Hope right now, the relief agency that we partner with here at American Family Radio, they're in the Arkansas area right now trying to help folks out. It's been a bad spring for flooding.
Boy, Steve Tiber and his crews are just amazing.
They do a great
job. And all
the
people that come donate their time,
I know,
take their vacation time and go and help people.
Uh-huh.
What a blessing that whole ministry is.
It sure is, and it's an honor for us to be part of that. And folks, we'll just pray for you today that you're starting to see some relief from all of that. And I know you're very thankful for the help that you're getting from 8 Days of Hope and other agencies that'll be coming in there to help out. Hey, listen, there's a lot of news to get to this morning. I want to start with some good news, all right? Conservatives, we know, are under fire in this country constantly, and I would say evangelical Christians are at the top of the list when it comes to those people who are facing opposition. But there's a story this morning out of Oberlin, Ohio. Now, Oberlin is just a few miles from Cleveland, Ohio. It is the home for Oberlin College, which is one of the most, and I think they self-confess to this, one of the most liberal left-wing colleges in the country. And let's face it, colleges and universities in this country are the incubators for far-left ideology. Now, that's, I'm just putting it out there. But here's the story involving Oberlin this morning. Owners of a market in that town were awarded $44 million in damages this week in their lawsuit claiming Oberlin College hurt their business and libeled them in a case some observers said embodied racial hypersensitivity and political correctness run amok. A jury in Lorain County awarded David Gibson, son Alan Gibson, and Gibson's Bakery of Oberlin $33 million in punitive damages, and that comes on top of an award a day earlier of $11 million in compensatory damages. All right, here's where the problem began. November 2016, one of the college students, a black college student, walks into that shop, shoplifts a bottle of wine. Two other black students joined in and assaulted Gibson. All right? Day after the arrest, hundreds of students from Oberlin protested outside the bakery. Members of Oberlin College's Student Senate published a resolution saying Gibson's had a history of racial profiling and discriminatory treatment. Apparently, professors at the college encouraged students to go and protest. And there was even tour guides that were put out, informed prospective students that Gibson's is racist. It was all a lie, folks. All a lie. And the jury there said enough is enough. $44 million it's been fined. Now, here's what the lawyer for the college had to say when this decision was rendered. Ladies and gentlemen, you have spoken. You have sent a profound message. We have heard you. Believe me when I say colleges across the country have heard you. I wonder. You know, the $44 million, that's a lot of money. But it's really not a lot of money for Oberlin. They have an endowment fund of $887 million. This is coin. It's change in the pocket for them. And I don't think it's going to change much. Oh, by the way, just to show you how radically left it is at Oberlin, news articles quoted students recently decrying the school's dining hall's sushi and Vietnamese sandwiches, calling it cultural appropriation. Hey, like I say, our universities, they're incubators for the far-left ideology in this country. But at least a jury there in Oberlin, Ohio, said enough is enough. You cannot do this. You cannot persecute people for doing what is right. So thank God. Like I said, that's a rare story these days. All right, on to the news of the morning. You may have seen a little bit of the interview that President Trump did with Stephanopoulos, the Clintonista, former Clintonista, worked for Bill Clinton. George Stephanopoulos now works for ABC. And Stephanopoulos asks him, you know, if a foreign agency gave you dirt on a political enemy, would you listen? The president said, yeah, I'd listen. I'd listen to it. I might turn it over to the FBI if I thought it was critical enough, but I'd listen. Well, you would not believe the reaction from the left on this. Basically, this how atrocious for the President of the United States saying he would listen to information about a political enemy. Now, listen, folks, to what Nancy Pelosi, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, had to say about the president yesterday about this, on his remarks about saying he would listen to information about a political enemy. Cut number four.
We are honoring our oath of office to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. It's a very sad thing that he does not know right from wrong. I believe that he has been involved in a criminal cover-up. Everybody in the country should be totally appalled by what the president said last night. Should be totally appalled. But he has a habit of making appalling statements. This one borders on so totally unethical that he doesn't even realize it.
Right, Nancy. You know, it's just laughable. Nancy Pelosi and others now getting out there condemning the president for saying he would listen. The Democrats, the Justice Department under Barack Obama was weaponized against Donald Trump. They went out and they used foreign sources to try to dig up dirt about Donald Trump in 2016. The hypocrisy is unbelievable. Mark Levine was on Fox and Friends just a few moments ago. He's author and show host, Mark Levine.
Let's talk about Nancy Pelosi for once in our lives.
Go ahead.
Let's talk about Nancy Pelosi for once in our lives here, that she's never confronted. Nancy Pelosi just said the President of the United States is guilty of a criminal cover-up.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they do in fascistic regimes, where a Speaker of the House stands up and accuses people of crimes. If we didn't have a Constitution and these Democrats that run these committees were in charge, be like the French committees during the French Revolution, where they'd be declaring people guilty with the guillotine right next to them and lopping their heads off. You know, there is a time when Congress is out of control, and this is one of them. We've seen this throughout our history. These subpoenas are outrageous. They're intended to destroy people. They are unconstitutional. Everybody who receives these unconstitutional subpoenas should be fighting them. They are victims. So I don't mind talking about what the president said. We endlessly talk about what the president says. Mm-hmm. When he sneezes, when he blows his nose, when he brushes his hair, when he gets up in the morning, it's Trump, Trump, Trump. Isn't he a dictator? Isn't he horrible? Can you believe what he said? Let's put the brakes on it. Nancy Pelosi is fascistic. She just declared the president of the United States a criminal. Based on what? No due process, no court case, no indictment. She stands up there and she announced the President of the United States a criminal. Nadler announces the President of the United States is a criminal. These are the worst kinds of demagogues who are representing the mob, their base. They've taken over the House of Representatives for their own political purposes.
Whoa, Mark Levin. Man, I'd rather be his friend than his enemy. He is exactly right. The Democrats, the left, the media, I mean, they've left reality. That's how bad it is. But as I was saying, the hypocrisy of Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats, Democrat senators all over CNN and the other networks yesterday saying how atrocious it was that the president would listen. That's all President Trump said. He would listen if he was offered. And then he added, if he felt it was important enough, he would turn it over to the FBI. Plain and simple. That's all he said. But Levin is exactly right. I mean, the left, if they were put in charge, as he was indicating there, if they were put in charge, we would have a fascist nation. That's all there is. People would be guilty with no trial. Forget about the trial. This is how we feel about you. This is how third world countries operate, folks. The dictator decides you're guilty, hang them. This is where we are with the Democrats right now. As you're saying, all these subpoenas going out there, they're totally unconstitutional. But you see, here's what happened with the Democrats. They didn't get what they wanted from Mueller. Now they want to go back again. And it is disgusting. I've been 40 years now in the news business. It is disgusting how complicit the mainstream media is in everything. They stick a microphone in front of the Democrats' face and it's reported without question. Why doesn't somebody ask Nancy Pelosi about what happened in 2016? Because reporters aren't doing their job anymore. They're just lapdogs for the Democrats, plain and simple. Is it any wonder that Sarah Huckabee Sanders announced she was resigning yesterday? She said she wants to go home to Arkansas, take her three kids, get out of that mess in Washington, D.C. Good for you, Sarah. You're doing the right thing. What I'm amazed at is that she was able to put up with the nonsense for 3.5 years. Boy, she is a chip off the old block, her dad, former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee. Tough. She's a tough lady. There are a lot of men who couldn't do the great job that she did during that time. And, of course, the mainstream media is out there this morning saying, well, you know, she hasn't held the press briefing in the little White House room there for a long time. Was it any wonder? All that was, folks, was people like Jim Acosta at CNN setting her up, knowing that he'd get his mug on camera and he'd be able to take it back to CNN there in Atlanta and show what a tough guy he is. That's all it was. But you know what? Here's what happened. They changed the strategy. They started talking to reporters out in front of the White House. This president, President Trump, has been the most accessible president perhaps ever. Every time he's heading to Marine One to go somewhere, he goes over to the line and he talks to reporters, takes their questions. What president has done that? Think back to Obama, think back to Bush, think back to Clinton. Most all you saw was them and perhaps their spouse walking towards the helicopter. This president, he's not afraid of the media. Sarah Huckabee Sanders, not afraid of the media. She's been out there doing those briefings. Kellyanne Conway. Hey, they're talking to the media. It's just that the media is the enemy now. They are lapdogs for the Democratic Party. But congratulations to Sarah Huckabee Sanders. I hope you're, and I think it's going to be a brief retirement. President Trump said yesterday, had a little ceremony at the White House, maybe she'll run for governor of Arkansas someday. I think she'd make a great governor of Arkansas. She certainly knows the state. All right, you're listening to Sandy Rios in the Morning. Much more ahead on this Friday morning. Fred sitting in for Sandy. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Thank you. So you sit down and do your budget, and you look at all your monthly costs and your bills and your income, and it seems like there's never quite enough. You know what would really help? Finding $500 a month to help balance things out. That is the typical savings. $500 a month for a family when you switch to MediShare for your healthcare. And when it comes to healthcare sharing ministries, MediShare is really the gold standard. It's been around for 25 years and has more than 400,000 members. It's been around so long and grown so much because it works. And whether you're single or married or have kids, this could make sitting down to do a monthly budget a lot more fun. $500 a month can more than cover a car payment or payback loans, whatever. So join MediShare and go out to dinner to celebrate. Here's the number to call. They are incredibly kind and helpful to talk to. 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
This is Pause to Pray, a moment to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for President Donald Trump, who is celebrating his 73rd birthday. We look to the Lord for blessings of good health for our commander-in-chief. 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2 reminds us of the importance of praying for our leaders. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask you for continued good health for President Trump. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team. Send President Trump a special birthday prayer message right now. It's free at pausetopray.org.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
Hello, Americans. Football players getting dunked. That story coming up.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Dr. Robert Bowen. I am the Dean of Science, Technology, Engineering, and Mathematics, and I'm an Associate Professor of Physiology. So one of the benefits of being a faculty member at TMU is not only are we allowed to speak the gospel in the classroom and within our areas of discipline, we're encouraged to do so. Everybody needs to know the love of Christ. And so I try to incorporate in my classes, and one of the places that I incorporate in the most is in my office when I have students come in.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu. Today.
The Freedom From Religion Foundation is raising a stink in Chatham, Alabama. They accuse the high school football team of engaging in illegal activity. Turns out 18 football players got baptized the other day near the Washington County High School football field. The pastor of Chatham Baptist Church officiated as the players waded into a giant feeding trough filled with water from a garden hose. And since the preacher was a Baptist, well, the boys got dunked. Had they been Presbyterian, well, they could have just run through the sprinklers on the field. The Freedom From Religion Foundation says the school broke the law, and they are demanding an investigation. First Liberty Institute, a religious liberty law firm, says the students have a constitutional right to engage in religious beliefs, and that includes getting dunked in a feeding trough. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
And welcome back to Sandy Rios in the morning. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy today. You know, it is our pleasure when there's just so much news going on out there to bring us up to date and to get a perspective from someone who is right there in the cauldron of Washington, D.C. And that's our good friend Gary Bauer of Campaign for Working Families. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning, Fred. How you doing?
Not too bad. Do you ever take a vacation from that place?
I'm actually on vacation now, but don't tell anybody.
All right. Well, very good. I hope you're enjoying it. I don't know if you just heard the spot there, but it is President Trump's birthday today. He's 73 years old. And the spot we just played was asking people to pray for our president. Well, I know you live there in Northern Virginia. That's your home base. It was interesting just, a few weeks ago when the president showed up at a church there and the pastor of the church, David Platt, prayed for him. David Platt got in a bunch of trouble for praying for the president. I mean, and that's an evangelical church. What is going on?
Oh, my goodness. And now, see, you've ruined my vacation, Fred, by reminding me of that. It's a sign of the times, you know. Now, look, I can see why the left attacked the pastor. You know, ironically, some of those folks on the left that were angry that people prayed for the president, or people on the left that don't believe in prayer. But that's a subject for another day. But what was disturbing was that there was blowback, pushback from some members of the congregation at the church. And to those folks, I would just say, I think you need to go back and open up your Bible and do a little bit more study than you're doing right now. This should not be a controversy in any Christian church. When Barack Obama was president of the United States and had policies on abortion on demand and redefining marriage and even policies he was pushing that would restrict religious liberty, it wasn't unusual for Christian pastors to ask their congregation to pray for him, to pray for his wisdom, etc. That doesn't mean you endorse everything that a president's doing, but I think the scriptures are fairly clear that we are supposed to pray for those that are in positions of leadership in our country and our communities, whether we always agree with them or not.
Gary, we seem to be living in a day when a president says something, it's wrong. If he doesn't say something, he's wrong. The latest controversy, I know you're on vacation, but you may have seen a little bit of the interview that George Stephanopoulos did with the president a few days ago, when he asked the president about, you know, would you listen to dirt from a foreign source on a political enemy? And the president said, yeah, I'd listen to it, and if I thought it was critical enough, then I probably would turn it over to the FBI. You would think that he was confessing to working with the Russians. Pelosi, the Democrats, the mainstream media have gone totally ballistic over this.
They have, Fred, and it is a perfect example of how a small exchange like that with this incredible left-wing media monopoly that exists can be taken out of context and turned into a club to beat up on the president for the last 24 hours, and it'll probably continue today. And I have to say, Fred, I'm really irritated when I see people like now Senator Mitt Romney also piling on and saying, well, this was just a totally unacceptable thing for the president to say. Her summary of it shows how reasonable what the president said was. There's also an irony here, and quite frankly, I wish the president would have said this, because he knows how the left is going to take anything out of context that he says. But the best answer to me would have been for him to say to Stephanopoulos, well, that don't you think that's a question you should ask Hillary Clinton? Because she's the one who in 2016 hired a foreign spy, Christopher Steele, to get sources, dirt from Russia that ended up being lies, to put into a dossier that then was leaked to the media in order to try to destroy my presidential campaign. I mean, it's outrageous that the president again is being attacked for this idea of make-believe foreign collusion, when so far the only foreign collusion that we know about for certain is the collusion that took place with Hillary Clinton's campaign and a number of different foreign interests.
Do you think the public is finally coming to the realization of the hypocrisy of the Democratic Party, or are they just so unfortunately uninformed because of the mainstream media being lapdogs for the Democrats?
Yeah, I really worry about this, Fred. Everybody says it now. It's a divided country. Well, it's been a divided country for a long time, and it was that division that resulted in the election of Donald Trump. He didn't cause the division. He's a symptom of the division that people wanted to change. Half the country wanted to change the direction we were moving in. But because we're so divided, half the country, at least, is not listening to conservative talk radio or Fox News or shows like this one or, you know, any of these other outlets, they're only reading the local newspaper, and many of those local newspapers are owned by big corporate entities like the New York Times, or they're on social media and they're reading all the lies there. So I'm afraid that after a controversy like this one in the last 24 hours, that a lot of people listening with one ear probably think the president has said something terrible, and even though they may like some of the things he's doing, this is another reason that he shouldn't be president. So, all this is going to play out in a couple of years here now with the presidential election. Quite frankly, Donald Trump ought to be 15 points ahead in the polls, given the economy, how he's rebuilt the military, the mistakes he corrected of the last president, the judges he's putting on the courts. But I think that we're likely to have another very close election that will totally depend on who shows up to vote.
Well, one of the people on the left, the Democrats, that wants to be the next president of the United States is Julian Castro. And he's down in the stack when it comes to the polling. I think he's still well in single, like 1 or 2%, well behind Biden. He's well behind Sanders and some of the others. However, Fox News Network last night gave Julian Castro a platform to talk about the issues. And there was one question that the Fox host threw at him with regards to what the president is doing in trying to secure our border. I want you to have a listen to what Julian Castro, his assessment of what the president has been doing in his attempts to secure our southern border. Cut number six.
I believe that we have a crisis of leadership. If you think about it for a second, when he came into office, Donald Trump said that he was going to solve this, as he put it, this immigration problem. And he's completely failed. Last month, there were 144,000 people that came to the southern border. And in our name, little children have been separated from their mothers. People right now, about 100 people, are in the 100-degree heat of El Paso, Texas, underneath a bridge, being fenced in and kept like animals together, without the ability to shower or to change clothes for a whole month. That is the failure that this president has been on the issue of immigration.
You know, Gary, I think Julian Castro ought to get some kind of reward for misrepresenting the truth and the facts. That he says the president is totally to blame. He has totally failed in his effort to secure the border. I actually was watching this as it happened last night, and I was shaking my head at the host of Fox. Why don't you say the Democrats are the reason things are as bad as they are on the border?
Yeah, I'm trying to get my breath here, Fred, after listening to that, because it is such an insane thing for him to be able to get away with. The president has a complete plan to secure the border, and it's Mayor Castro's party, as you just pointed out, that will not allow that plan to get through the United States Congress. They won't even appropriate more money to build more shelters so that the people that are arrested at the border can be kept inside and have showers, et cetera. It's outrageous that he would say it, and I did not watch last night, but if the Fox interviewers did not confront him on that, shame on them. You know, there's an old, it's a joke, but it's not very funny, about a guy that murders his parents. And then when he appears before the court to be sentenced, he pleads for mercy because he's an orphan. Well, he's the reason he's an orphan. So if Mr. Castro thinks the border is a disaster, his party is the reason that the border is a disaster.
Absolutely. Gary, I just want to take you to an overseas issue real quick. We heard the news over the last 48 hours or so of some tankers in the Strait of Hormuz basically being attacked, it's believed, by the Iranians. Is the president, give an assessment, a report card on how the president is handling the situation there. Uh, is, some people are arguing, even amongst Republicans, that perhaps the president, by putting some of our naval vessels in that vicinity, has heightened the problem. What is your assessment of that?
Well, no, I mean, that's those people making that argument are part of the problem. Countries with governments like Iran only understand one thing, and that's strength. And that's true whether it's North Korea, whether it's China, whether it's Russia, and certainly whether it's the Islamic Republic of Iran. They're using the proxy forces they have. They've been doing this for decades. They were really on a tear during the Obama years, because during those years, while Obama negotiated a nuclear deal with them and sent them billions of dollars as part of that deal, they were spreading their proxy forces all over the Middle East, literally attempting to overthrow multiple countries' governments in the Middle East. And the goal of Iran is to dominate the Middle East, ultimately to destroy Israel, and certainly to drive us out of the entire region. So the president, wisely following the advice of his military advisors, has had to place additional assets there in order to send a clear message to the Iranians that they better not in any way threaten American troops, American installations, or American interests. The attacks on these tankers ought to be a wake-up call to Europe and to many other countries around the world that unfortunately are sleepwalking through what is becoming a very dangerous world. And it's not becoming very dangerous because of Donald Trump. It's becoming very dangerous because really evil regimes are getting closer and closer to having weapons of mass destruction. And they are prepared to use those weapons to intimidate us. So I think the president's made the right move, and I think the government of Iran ought to think very carefully about what their next move is.
Gary, you just mentioned Israel. I know you're a great friend and defender of Israel. Apparently, in just a few weeks, the White House is going to unveil its plan to try to resolve conflicts in the Middle East. Are you hearing anything? I know you're advisor to the president. Are we getting some indication on what they're going to propose to try to end the ongoing conflict there?
I don't have the details, which, of course, are being held very closely. I can tell you without fear of getting in any trouble that I have had a tremendous amount of access at the White House to talk to key people regularly that are involved in putting the plan together and on overall our policy toward Israel. So whether it was moving our embassy to Jerusalem or some of the other things the president has done, I've had the opportunity through my regular work and also through Christians United for Israel that I run the Washington operation of, to have input. And I feel very confident that the proposal that will be put on the table will be the best proposal that any previous American president has made in an effort to solve the problem between Israel and the Palestinians. Having said that, I do not believe the Palestinian leadership will accept the deal. And I don't believe at the end of the day that the big problem in the Middle East is the problem between the Palestinians and Israel. I think, as we were just talking about, that the big problem in the Middle East is Iran, it's Syria, and it's radical Islam.
Amen.
And
amen. Gary, we have to run. Yeah, we'll see what happens. Listen, thank you so much, Gary Bauer, Campaign for Working Families. Hey, listen, you got a great end of day email you send out every day. How can we get that?
Go to ouramericanvalues.org.
All right. I read it every day, Gary. Thank you so much for all you do. Fred. Hey, listen, have a good rest of your vacation.
Thanks, Fred.
Try to relax. All right. You're listening to Sandy Rios in the Morning, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Want to hear from you when we come back.
Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Illinois' Reproductive Health Act, SB 25, is worse than New York's pro-baby murder law. It repeals the state's ban on partial birth abortion, allows babies to be killed through the 40th week of gestation, and requires insurance companies to pay for it. It also eliminates the state's Abortion Performance Recusal Act so that medical professionals will be forced to recommend, perform, or assist in abortions. All licensing requirements for abortuaries would be removed, and pregnant minors would be able to kill their babies without parental notice. And the parents will be forced to pay for it, regardless of their consent.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
And this is where I often say that the Word of God is not meant merely to be consumed. The question is not how many scripture you can retain. The question is how much scripture can you use.
Now, thoroughly enjoy the Hamilton Corner. It's a bright light, just a priceless information, and God's Word is so needed.
Tune in to the Hamilton Corner, weekday afternoons at 5 Central on American Family Radio.
The loss of a child through abortion, miscarriage, or stillbirth affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming. There is hope and healing in the aftermath of a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who has been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. One of the unfortunate casualties of our digital culture is the death of the family meal. Dads, you need to take the lead in seeing to it that your family has dinner together as often as possible. It's good for you, and it's good for your kids. A study from New Zealand shows that junior high students who enjoy frequent family meals have higher levels of emotional well-being and lower levels of depression. In Iran, believe it or not, adolescents who have regular family meals are less likely to suffer from anxiety, insomnia, and all types of mental disorders. Family meals are linked to lower levels of suicide and higher levels of self-esteem among adolescents and among adults who shared family meals when they were adolescents. Hey, if it works in Iran, it'll work here. Bon appetit.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Yesterday, two more tankers were attacked in the Persian Gulf. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo quickly confirmed that the perpetrator was the region's most dangerous regime, the Mullahocracy of Iran. Mr. Pompeo cited intelligence about the types of weapons used, the pattern of previous attacks on shipping in the Gulf, and the absence of other militaries in the area with the requisite training and capabilities. In addition, there is what amounts to a smoking gun. U.S. Central Command has released a video showing an Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps patrol boat removing an unexploded limpet mine from one of the stricken ships. If we want to discourage more of such aggression, the Iranian regime must understand that there is a cost to engaging in it. Time to dust off and exercise long-standing Pentagon contingency plans for stealthily degrading Iran's oil exporting capabilities. This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
888-589-8840 is the number to call. 888-589-8840. Getting your points of view this morning on the president. President Trump. It's his birthday today. 73 years old.
He's in good shape for 73. He looks
in,
to be.
He's in good shape. And I'll tell you what, not only physically,
right?
I have to admire him. The Surgeon General gives him AAA all the way. He's in great shape. And he was asked, I think, how does a president do it?
Yeah.
All the pressure that he was under. I mean, when Barack Obama was president, the media loved him. so he didn't face that kind of problem every day. But can you imagine waking up every morning, and if you said something the day before, you're being attacked. If you didn't do something the day before, you're being attacked from all sides, not just Democrats, but the mainstream media for the most part.
I don't think he would have survived if he hadn't had the environment he was raised in and grew up in the New York environment just fight for everything you can get.
Yeah. It's amazing. He's not a politician. That's the bottom line in that.
That's a good thing.
Number one, he didn't take the job for the money.
Right.
He doesn't take a penny, folks. You may not be aware of that. He doesn't take a penny. The president is entitled to $400,000 a year, I think it is. He gives it all away. And somebody decides what charity is going to get it or something of that nature. It's amazing. They're after his tax returns. I mean, it's just the nonsense. But I have to admire him. And the spot we just played here in the program not too long ago, a call to pray for the president. We ought to pray for the president on a regular basis. But I think today, especially on his 73rd birthday, I think it'd be a great idea to offer prayer for the president.
And all those that say you didn't do that for Obama, wrong.
Yes.
We did pray for President Obama on a regular basis on this station, on the air.
Absolutely.
And we pray for all our presidents, back to Bush or you know, totally wrong if you say, well, you're praying for Trump and you didn't pray for Obama.
That's not true.
That's wrong.
And we do it because it's a command of Scripture.
That's right. We pray for leadership.
Absolutely. And because you pray for leadership doesn't mean you agree
absolutely
with everything that they do or the way they may state things. You're not approving of past practices and behavior. That's not it. We're called upon to pray for the president that he would have godly wisdom in the decisions that he makes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thankful, for one, that we now have a president who doesn't wet his finger and put it up there to the wind and say, I'm going to do what I think will make everybody happy. He doesn't do that.
They're attacking him from all angles. Republicans, Democrats, left, right, middle. He's under fire from every different direction. And he is just to me, has been amazing how he's handled it. And yes, there are times I go, oh, why did you tweet that? Or why did you say that? You know, there are times, but that just goes to prove I can disagree with him, but I can still pray for him.
Oh, absolutely. All right, let's go to our phones. 888-589-8840 is the number to call. Let's go first to Oklahoma this morning, and David is on the line. David, welcome to the program. Go ahead.
All right, thank you. I just want to make a quick two statements. When one of the DACA recipients were talking about the immigration was going out of control, so it might backfire with the immigrants and the illegal aliens because they might have a voting block to vote in a Republican because of the competition with the other aliens still flooding the country. And also when Trump said the statement about he would listen and the Democrats came out with what should be done and what punishment should be yielded, they say, judge not, lest ye be judged, because that judgment might fall back on them, because the attorney general is still has cases of with the collusion that Hillary has done. Mm-hmm. So they might be pronouncing their own judgment that will be held against Hillary from their own mouths. That's what I just was theory I had.
David, I think you're exactly right. I think Sean Hannity actually said that the president was setting the media up with that statement the other night, that when in that interview with George Stephanopoulos, when he said he would listen to dirt on a political enemy, that the information came from a foreign source. I think he was setting up because Nancy Pelosi, Democrats, media pundits who don't like the president have all condemned him for saying that. But what Stephanopoulos asked the president is exactly what the Hillary campaign, working with the FBI, working with the Obama Justice Department, it is exactly what they did. I mean, we're just talking with Gary Bauer a few moments ago. He pointed out, If foreign interference in the election is such a problem, then why was Australia's ambassador to England helping the Clinton campaign? What were Italy's intelligence agencies up to? I mean, there's so much in the hypocrisy of the left and all of this, but I think perhaps, don't always agree with Sean Hannity, but perhaps he's right. The president put it out there, knowing how the Democrats and the media would react to it, and I hope he plays it all back when the report finally comes from the Inspector General, Michael Horowitz. It is due out any day, folks. We're going to start to find out just what was going on behind the scenes that eventually led to the Mueller investigation. I'm anxious to hear that. All right, let's go to Steve in Arkansas. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
Yes.
I just wanted to comment this morning about Sarah Huckabee and ask you and others in with national platforms, with radio, please don't encourage Sarah Huckabee or anybody else as our governor. We need to let the people of Arkansas decide that.
Yeah.
Some years ago, national radio pushed a man named Bill Clinton for Arkansas, and he eventually became the most communist, disgusting president at the time that he ever held the office in the United States.
Uh-huh.
People build up Mike Huckabee. He talks a good game. Don't believe it. I'm in Arkansas. I've always voted Republican, and I voted for Huckabee when he ran for governor here because there was no other alternative.
Right.
It was like, just no alternative. But he is not what he's cracked up to be. To start with, he is one of the major players in Common Core education. He was disgusted with us in Arkansas because we bucked him when he wanted to take our tax dollars and pay for the college education of illegals. And such policies as that. And we have Republican administration in Arkansas. But believe you me, they are establishment Republicans. We refer to this as the United Socialist Counties of Arkansas. They are almost as socialist as the Democrats themselves.
That's an interesting perspective, Steve, because I think, my knowledge of Sarah Huckabee Sanders is based on what I've seen. And folks, just so folks, you may not have been listening to the start of the program, Sarah Huckabee Sanders late yesterday announced that she was stepping down from her position at the White House and plans to return to Arkansas and plans to spend more time with her husband and three kids. And somebody mentioned this morning that she might make, well, I think it was the president yesterday in praising her, said she might make a good governor of Arkansas. I'm a little curious, Steve, what was it that you would see? Because I think the nation saw a Sarah Huckabee Sanders that was very strong on conservative values, certainly supported president in his economic policies. Did you see something in there that you think would be bad for Arkansas?
No, but let me tell you, I'm 62 years old, and I'm pretty much a political analyst myself.
Okay.
And my fear of her would be this, that she would be too much like her dad, uh-huh. and she would talk out of both sides of mouth, say one thing and do another.
Okay.
And what she's done a real fine job for the president. I'm proud of her there. But that's as far as she needs to go, because you have to consider she is the mouthpiece of the president right here. She's speaking for him.
Uh-huh.
And that does not always mean that she totally agrees with
him. Right.
So, she's an employee of the president. She represents him.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, Steve, I appreciate perspective. As you say, you've been in Arkansas all your life. You're 62 years old. Now, nobody is saying that she does want to run for governor there. It was just a comment that the president made yesterday that we wanted to key in on. Hey, listen, we got about 5 minutes or so to go. I want to have a little fun. At the expense of the Prime Minister of Canada. Now, if you've listened to this American Family Radio, I'm from Canada, all right?
Yeah.
Now, Justin Trudeau, son of former Prime Minister of Canada, Pierre Elliott Trudeau, he's been in office three, 4 years now, I think. They are having an election up there this fall. And I would, if you were talking about his political background, I'd put him in the camp of Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi. He's far left. He would be right up there with Al Gore and that side of the political spectrum. When it comes to all kinds of public policy, I mean, he's down on oil and gas. He's big on the whole climate change thing. So he's facing election, this young man. He's got all kinds of problems. I'm not sure how the polling is going, but he's got a real battle on his hand. So earlier this week, the setting is outside somewhere. I don't know where in the country it was there in Canada. But he was asked by a reporter, what are you and your family doing to fight climate change? Because we know politicians are real good at telling everybody else what they need to do to fight climate change and to reduce carbon output. So this reporter, boy, brave question. What are you and your family, Mr. Trudeau, doing to fight climate change? Here's what he has to say, cut number 8.
You and your family do to cut back on plastics?
We have recently switched to drinking away from plastic towards paper, like drink box water bottles sort of things.
He had a tough time with that, a real tough time with that. And we have switched to drinking water out of water bottles, plastic, no, paper. Well, I tell you what, the Canadians are having a lot of fun with this right now.
I hope so.
They're having a lot of fun. Some have started producing their own videos. There's another video out there of a guy, and the framework of the video is this. He's heading out to work in the morning, this guy. He's kind of a blue-collar guy. And it shows him with a cardboard box, and he's pouring water into it. And the water is flowing out everywhere. But, folks, it is making a serious point. You know, they can talk, you know, the AOCs here in this country and most of the Democratic candidates can talk all they want about, you know, reducing carbon output and all that kind of thing. And they can talk about windmills and they can talk about this and that, you know, cutting down on plane travel. But here's the reality. I'm all for recycling. I'm all for developing. You know, we've got use the energy of the sun where you can. I think if I lived in Arizona, I would have those sun panels on my roof. Why not? They're expensive to install, but they would likely save. But you cannot abandon fossil fuels. The economy would go down the tubes. You can't abandon fossil fuels. There's at least, a couple of the Democrat candidates, they want to do away with coal. It's not possible. But here's the reality. The people who are proposing that, like Nancy Pelosi, she's not going to take a car to get back home to San Francisco. She's going to fly on a private plane. And here's the problem I have with the Justin Trudeaus in Canada and the politicians here. They make these suggestions, but what they're really saying, you do that. Don't let it apply to me. All right, it has been fun. It's been great to be with you this morning. Sandy will be back in the chair on Monday. Have yourself a great weekend. Be good to Dad. Sunday's Father's Day. Be good to Dad every day. Amen. More great programming here on American Family Radio. We'll see you again real soon. Bye for now.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.